This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1465. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, DXing harmonics and Firedrake, Iranian satellite jamming, Over the Horizon radar wipes out 31 meters, the Uniwave DRM receiver, digital television tips, sporadic E on shortwave, and the long-term propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. After more than 2 weeks of mixing two programs on the Caribbean Beacon Anguilla 11775, as of June 11th, I was no longer hearing that mix of their medium wave programming from 1610 on the shortwave frequency. I suspect it was not a permanent fix, but simply accomplished by reducing the power of the medium wave transmission so it would no longer be getting into the adjacent shortwave transmitter. We'll see if we hear it any further between 10 and 16 UT. I understand the medium wave transmitter is now running 50 kilowatts at other times. On June 11th and 12th, I was hearing RAI Argentina on 15344 instead of 15345. After 21 UT, apparently in the clear with Morocco signing off an hour earlier due to daylight shifting time in that country. However, as of June 14th, Wolfgang Büchel in Germany says RAI Argentina was back very close to 15345. At least within 10 hertz or so of Morocco, still on the air before 2100. In Hardcore DX, Jorge Freitas in Bahia, Brazil, confirms that we believe what is the only 120-meter band station in Brasil is still active, Rádio Cadora de Limeira, on 2380, heard June 6th at midnight 22. Despite its name, it's not educational, but they were broadcasting a football game. And he also heard an harmonic on 3140. A little bit later the same evening, June 6th at 0100, Radio Cidade in Corinto, Minas Gerais. It's a 250-watt station on 1570. He heard an ID. And they were signing off at that rather early hour of 0100. He refers to this as the first harmonic. But, according to our terminology, two times a fundamental frequency is called the second harmonic, the first harmonic being the fundamental itself. If you're speaking in terms of overtones, then you can call the second harmonic the first overtone. As I reported before, on the last Sunday in June, I was hearing Radio Nacional da Amazônia, Brazil, on the strange frequency of 6500. Instead of 6185. I missed checking it the following Sunday, but on June 14th, I did check again at the same time, 0513 UT, and they were back where they were supposed to be, 6185, colliding, and atop XEPPM in Mexico. The all-music jamming from China we call Firedrake. I try to check just about every day, especially in the mornings here, because propagation conditions are never the same, and the frequency usage is never exactly the same, it seems. On June 13th at 1337 UT, I found them on 15610 rather than the usual 15600 even. They were all drumming at the moment and still coming in well at 1409. I assume they were on 15610 instead of 15600 because the target of the jamming, Sound of Hope, had also jumped frequency by 10 kilohertz, but as usual it was not audible at all under the jamming. By the way, 15610, as I was researching this, is also on some schedules for a Chinese broadcast from Saudi Arabia, but at an earlier hour, 08 to 10 UT. but it does not seem to be really on the air, as it's missing from other schedules, including the World Radio TV Handbook. But I suspect if it were on the air, the Chi-Com would be jamming it too. Higher frequencies sometimes propagate from China when you would not expect, thanks to Firedrake, such as 18320, which I could barely detect June 14th at 1355, when they were also barely detectable on 14420. Keith Perrin in Taiwan told us on June 9th, in the last 2 days, the communist government in China announced that all computers sold there must include new software to block access to websites. This software could let the Public Security Bureau know who was accessing which websites. But this is not yet confirmed. It is possible. It could mean that those who use proxy servers to access broadcasters and news organizations online that the government sees as unfriendly could target those users under the law forbidding Chinese citizens from accessing foreign content. And Keith reminds us that Radio France International plans to cut its Chinese broadcasts on shortwave, but only have it online. And that announcement should raise even further questions about the advisability of that. The news came from Agence France-Presse, which in turn referred to the Wall Street Journal as reporting that new rule. Radio Havana, Cuba was way off schedule Saturday evening, UT Sunday, June 14th, as DXers Unlimited was ending at 0522 UT on 6140 in the other frequencies, which means it must have started at around 0505 instead of 0535. Don't yet know if it's a permanent change or just some mix-up in the tapes. Ron Howard in California was surprised to hear Radio Republica, the Cuban clandestine, on 9545, June 14th, for almost an hour, 0246 to 0340 UT, with no jamming. Usually there is extensive jamming. Yeah, and he sent me a clip of their ID announcement. Well, the jamming level does vary a lot. You never know whether it's just propagation or for operational reasons. But listening to his clip, I found some useful info. They were actually announcing their schedule on this frequency as every night from 7 to midnight, that's in UT, 23 to 04 on 9545. Previously, we knew only of the website of its parent organization, www.directorio.org, but this announcement mentioned a website for the radio station in particular, www.radiorepublica.org. I checked that out and found it actually has a program schedule for each day of the week and a blog. Unfortunately, the schedule is not in a format that is copyable, but you may at least look at it if you like. On yet another Tuesday, June 9th, the Voice of Indonesia's English broadcast at 1300 was once again not only coming from Jakarta, but from RRI in Banjarmasin, Kalimantan. They've been doing this every Tuesday since sometime in April at least, and I am speaking about English. Banjarmasin, of course, doesn't ordinarily broadcast in English, but they have features about that part of the country. Reception on 9525 continues to be without interference, but it's still difficult to read because of the accents, the hum, and somewhat undermodulated. Ron Howard in California was also listening to the same Tuesday broadcast. He said they had English news, today in history, news and events, and the segment from Banjarmasin in the second half of the hour. And they gave their local FM frequency and phone number for listener contact and to request songs. Thanks to Kai Ludwig in Germany for informing us of this on June 14th. It appears that quite massive jamming attacks against Hotbird satellite signals with Persian programming are going on. There was a discussion of this in a German forum, forum.mysnip.de. He's summarizing this for us in English. It was also discussed in a Polish forum. For some time, there have been problems with 12.303 gigahertz vertical. It's suspected to be the result of jamming. This MUX includes the Persian New Channel TV. Another transponder is affected, 11.117 GHz, which carries BBC Persian Television plus BBC Persian Radio, as well as Payam-e Dost, which is considered clandestine. The spectrum of the signal showed a strong empty carrier exactly in the center. It disappeared at midnight 55 UT sharp, when the signal quality improved dramatically. He says it looks very much like jamming. The same was on 12.303 GHz vertical, which also carries Radio Netherlands feeds, so even their shortwave transmissions could be affected. On June 14th, 11.727 GHz vertical was targeted, a MUX with Pars TV. The Astra relay of TVE Spain was disrupted as well. Apparently this hotbird signal is the source of it, and numerous BBC World Service feeds are on the same one, so it's possible they also got disrupted, nothing to do with Persian broadcasts. At 11.50 UT, the empty carrier on 11.117 return, a bit stronger than the previous night. And on 11.727 GHz vertical, the carrier is about 15 dB stronger than the actual modulation, when viewed with 300 kHz bandwidth, a very clean and stable carrier. Dutch BVN TV Europe moved to a different transponder, 12.207 GHz horizontal, apparently due to 12.303 being jammed. And after 1300, more postings about this, BBC Persian was temporarily removed from 11.117. The jamming disappeared and promptly returned when BBC Persian was put back on. The BBC itself discussed this in the blog from the BBC editors. Kai says it'll be very interesting to see how Eutelsat deals with the situation, since unavoidably this affects other completely unrelated customers. And IRIB in Iran is also a Eutelsat customer. Other satellites than Hotbird at 13 degrees east may well be affected. Back to shortwave, the Voice of Korea frequently has transmitter problems on 11735, June 11th at 1350. I noticed that Chinese service was warbling with a rumble and whine, interfering with itself. It seemed to be closer to 11734.6. The English frequency, 11710, in comparison, was doing fine. And North Korea's technical prowess suffered by comparison to the Voice of America in Korean on the adjacent frequency, quite clear on 11740. You never know whether WRMI will be on the air or not during the afternoon, but during the 22 to 23 UT hour, Radio Netherlands is scheduled via the WRN relay. So there's a chance to hear, if it's on the air, Radio Netherlands in English, relayed from North America, and perhaps audible in North America, as well as the Caribbean and South America. Solomon Islands is heard on its distinctive off-frequency some days, but not every day, 9541.5 variable. Often it's just a heterodyne here, but we're quite sure that's what it is, since we know that SIBC stays on the air past their local midnight, relaying BBC World Service. There was a letter to the editor of Solomon Star News, published June 9th, thanks to Kim Elliott for passing that on to us, asking if SIBC is still active. Someone inside the country was having trouble picking them up. They didn't make clear whether it was shortwave or medium wave they were trying to hear as of May 31st. They said that they were getting Radio New Zealand, Australia, Japan, World Harvest Radio, Bougainville from PNG, all loud and clear, but not Solomon Islands. That was from Matthias in Waifo in Noro, Western Province. Brian Clark in New Zealand has been monitoring. He tells us that SIBC Honiara was back June 10th at 0310 with a repeated orchestral music, Born Free, and then soccer commentary versus PNG. Best on lower sideband to avoid the Radio Republica 9545 with jamming. says good signal, but continuing modulation problems from Solomon Islands. That transmitter had been absent when previously checked June 8th at 0415. We're in the midst of World of Radio number 1465. Check our website for a lot more info, worldofradio.org. Your contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. A propagational anomaly I noticed June 12th at 13:37 as I was doing my usual band scan of 19 meters. Not much coming in from Europe except for quite a good signal from Radio Sweden in English on 15735. Now that is usually not very well heard here since it's aimed eastward, Sweden having abandoned its North American listeners in the mornings. But at the moment it was the best signal from Europe. However, a few minutes later it faded out to nearly nothing. So here's my theory. At least the last hop of this signal was getting boosted by sporadic E over eastern North America. WWCR was in booming on 15825, a sure tip-off to a sporadic E opening. And there could have been additional hops between Sweden and Oklahoma helping things along. But these patches move around, and one weak link anywhere along the line would have disrupted reception. By the way, I'm rather surprised that hardly anyone but myself mentions sporadic E in connection with shortwave DX. If you're also a VHF DXer, there is an obvious correlation. Chris Stacy in East Sussex reported to communication of the British DX Club getting verifications from the voice of Kuang Hua via Kuanging, Taiwan, on 9745. In fact, he or she says, I received three QSL cards in the form of a jigsaw puzzle, which, when put together, formed a map of Taiwan, and it took 218 days to get this reply. They also sent schedules in Chinese for the voice of Han and the voice of Kuang Hua. Two IRCs return postage were sent. Well, that's very interesting, but only three pieces would not be a very challenging jigsaw puzzle, it seems to me, so I wonder if the three were actually chopped up into many smaller pieces. I think I see a new wave scan contest. Should I explain? Well, they're always looking for new ideas involving QSL collecting. DX Mix News in Bulgaria has an update to some frequency changes for WYFR in Florida. Among other things, they have dropped 15190 in Portuguese between 22 and 0345 UT, replacing it during the first 3 hours with 7520. Not of too much interest, except that means that Radio Africa Equatorial Guinea should now finally have 15190 to themselves when they are running past 2200 UT, as they frequently do. Area 51 has expanded its hours on WBCQ. Thanks to Mike Rhoda in Ohio and the Nasser Group for passing on this news from Larry Will. The program is dedicated mostly to pirate programming. And according to a news flash, thanks to a kind benefactor, Area 51 programming is expanding 7 hours a week for the next 2 weeks starting June 8th. On 5110 variable, WBCQ, of course. The schedule is the day of week, referring to the start time, Monday through Friday at 23 to 02 UT, Saturday from 22 until 02, and Sunday from 22 to midnight UT. Via the WBCQ website, you can get each week's program schedule in advance to see exactly which pirate shows and others are included. I believe World of Radio continues at its usual time via Area 51, UT Fridays at midnight. There are lots of sporadic E-skip openings this time of year. It's the peak. Sometimes they reach television, Channel 2, or 6, or even FM, or even higher on rarer occasions. But much more frequently, they do affect the shortwave frequencies. We often find WWCR in booming on 13845 and 15825. We're only a megameter away, and without sporadic E, those frequencies are often quite weak here. We're just a bit too close for the skip. So when they are in booming, I've found that WWRB's second harmonic can sometimes be heard on 18770. One time it was even as strong as S9 with Brother Scare, two times 9385. I'm usually checking for this before and after 1400 UT. Strangely enough, when this is happening, there's often very little happening on the 15, 12, or 10-meter ham bands, although the Citizens band is usually hopping on 27 megahertz if the MUF is cooperating. When this is happening, one should also look for higher harmonics from WWRB 9385. The third harmonic would be on 28155. And if you have a receiver that tunes up there, the fourth harmonic would be on 37540 kilohertz. One could also look for some harmonics from WWCR, although they're suppressed better than the ones at WWRB. On one occasion only, I was barely able to hear WWCR on 19960, two times 9980, but not on 14980, which would be two times 7490. Some other possibilities from that station are 27690 and 31650. Make a note of those frequencies and see if you can pick them up during sporadic E openings. They will be relatively weak compared to the fundamentals. It seems the music from the Voice of Vietnam can fool you if you're not careful. On UT June 14th at 0514, I was hearing what sounded like Middle Eastern music on 6175, but then there were some lyrics in Vietnamese as well as a Vietnamese announcement. But the kind of music you would not expect to hear from Vietnam via the Canadian relay. And in an unrelated logging, Harold Froge in Michigan reports to the Mayor Tip Sheet he heard VOV on 6175 June 10th at 0252 with a folk tune that sounded Balkan rather than Asian. Des Walsh, EI5CD in Ireland, tells us, as of June 14th, in the last few days, the daddy of all interferers wiped out the whole 31-meter band here, a classical radar signal with a whopping peak over 100 kilohertz wide and strong sidebands out to 4 to 500 kilohertz either side of the center frequency 9800. The only signal I could hear was Radio Netherlands on 9895 around 10:30 UT. That was on Thursday, June 11th. It had the usual characteristics of over-the-horizon radar signals. The wide spread must have been many tens of megawatts ERP, he thinks, if not hundreds. I cannot visualize just what sort of transmission technology can handle such immense pulse power. Was heard again on Friday the 12th from 9:30 until it suddenly went off at 11:45 UT. He suspects Hainan, China is the most likely source. David Sharp in New South Wales says he's heard the same interference in Australia, also on 31 meters, although in his case it was centered around 9,500 kilohertz and also spreading 500 kilohertz above and below. Thank goodness it's not every day. He says, let's go ahead and blame China unless someone proves different. Chinese stations and jammers are the biggest roadblock to DX in this part of the world. John Filiozzi sends DX Listening Digest news about the Uniwave DiWave DRM receiver. He heard from the company to his inquiry on June 10th. They say the receiver will be sold in the U.S. as soon as they get FCC approval expected in August or September this year. They're finalizing prices and the distribution network. The website is www.uniwave.fr. John says they also have a PDF of the instruction manual. As I mentioned last week, June 12th was the big analog switch-off for television in the U.S. Many of us were monitoring our nearby stations to see how they would mark this historic occasion. KFOR, Oklahoma City, which is now on channel 27 only, turned off its original analog channel 4 signal at 1 p.m. local time. Well, at least they didn't just cut the carrier, as some other stations did, without notice. They did have their chief engineer standing next to the old analog transmitter, and Bob Abla threw the big switch. Here's what he said. "We're going to sign off the analog for good. Good night." Even though it was the middle of the day. Anyhow, I got this on tape for my archives. Now, this doesn't mean that all full-power TV stations in the U.S. have actually turned off their analog transmitters. Many of them are running so-called nightlight services, which is a continuous loop tape, usually supplied by the NAB in English and Spanish, explaining for anyone who still doesn't get it that they have to get a converter box or do something to continue receiving television. In Oklahoma, there are only three stations staying on a little bit longer. The dates vary with this nightlight service. Channel 5 in Oklahoma City, Channel 2 in Tulsa, and Channel 10 in Ada. If you'd like to check a list, which is believed to be complete, of all the stations doing this, Gerard Westerberg has conveniently compiled one on a spreadsheet at his website. Look around for the link at www.dxfm.com, which, despite the name, also has a lot about Television DX. With most of the U.S. TV stations now gone from channels 2 through 6, we're looking forward to increased DX opportunities to pick up the ones which remain not only in the U.S., but in Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and perhaps even further away. As I was mentioning in connection with Sweden on shortwave, Sporadic E is capable of multiple hops if the patches line up just right. There's probably been a lot of multiple or at least double hop Sporadic E TVDX occurring. The trouble is it's been overridden by all the single hop signals in the way, but now that is much less the case. So if you have and you probably do in the U.S., an open channel 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, and preferably an outside antenna, look out for Television DX from abroad. It can even happen across the Atlantic. On May 30th, TVDX Sir Hugh Cox in Portugal received TV Brazil on Channel 2 via multi-hop Sporadic E and put it up on YouTube. Brock Whaley forwards an item from the NASA website, May 29th. An international panel of experts led by NOAA and sponsored by NASA released a new prediction for the next solar cycle, number 24. They say it will peak in May 2013 with a below-average number of sunspots. It could have a peak sunspot number of 90, the lowest of any cycle since 1928, when number 16 peaked at only 78. You might want to read the comments of Thomas Hood, who runs his own propagation website. It's prop.hfradio.org. He refers to a dissenting opinion of someone on the panel, Dean Pesnell of the Goddard Space Flight Center. It turns out none of our models were totally correct. The sun is behaving in an unexpected and very interesting way. He says go ahead and mark your calendar for May 2013, but use a pencil. And Thomas Hood says it's pretty arrogant to postulate that mankind has any real understanding and handle on what the sun might do next. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1465.